Okay, today's daf is Bava Kamma daf Kuf. Today we are going to do daf Kuf right now in 9:30 tonight, I guess we'll call it. I'll do daf Kuf Aleph. Again, if you can make it, great. If not, it is recorded and I'll put it online. Okay, we left off in the Gemara on daf Tzadi Tesam and Beis. We're just past halfway down the page. We're up to Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan. We were discussing cases where you ask a shochet to shecht your animal for you and he messes up. He ruins the animal, he makes it an avela. So we're discussing whether or not the shochet is going to be chayiv. So the issue at hand was whether he's an expert or he's not an expert. So similarly, says, or along the same line, says the Gemara, where we left off, first word on the line is v'kaimalan. We are at Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. I believe that's where we're up to. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Tabach uman shekilkel chayev. If you have an expert shochet who messes up, he's chayev. Va'afilu hu uman ketivchet tzipori. Even if he's an uman like the shochtim of the town of Tzipori. So frak the Gemara, umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan say that? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold that a tabach uman is chayev when he messes up? Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, uvda hava kamed Rabbi Yochanan beknishtu d'ma'on. There was an episode that happened that was brought to Rabbi Yochanan in Knishtu de Ma'on, va'amalei zil aisi raya dimamchiso l'tarnagolim v'patrech. He said, I want you to bring a raya that you're mumcha to shech these animals, and then I'll exempt you. So apparently the idea is that Rabbi Yochanan held that if you're a mumcha, you're pater. You're not going to be chayiv if you're a tabach uman. Because he said, go bring a raya that you're a mumcha, and then you'll get off the hook. So says Gemara Lokasha, kan bechinam kan beschar. No, there's a big difference whether the guy was getting paid or whether he wasn't getting paid. So ki ha damar Rabbi Zera harotzei sheyischayev lo tabach. Like Rabbi Zera used to always give the advice, if you want the shochet to bear the full responsibility of his actions, you want him to be responsible. If he messes up, yaktim lo dinar, just give him some money. So if you pay him, then he's going to be responsible if he's a tabach uman. If you don't pay him, he's not going to be responsible. The kasha that a lot of the Achronim ask is that Rabbi Yochanan over here says, I see raya de mumchis l'tanagolim v'patrech, right? That he says, bring a raya that you're a mumcha, then you'll be pater. And the Ukim to the Gemara makes obviously is he didn't get paid. But what kind of idea is that? That bring a raya that you're a mumcha. Don't we have a rov? The Gemara in Maseches Chulin says that rov mitsuyin eitzel shchita mumchen hein, that most of the people who are involved in shchita are mumchen. You wouldn't just try it if you weren't an expert in shchita. You wouldn't open up shop as a shochet if you weren't an expert. So don't we have a rov? Why would you have to bring a raya if you have a clear rov that rov mitsuyin eitzel shchita are mumchin? But so there are a couple of approaches. Rabbi Kivega writes that over here the guy messed up. So yeah, rov mitsuyin eitzel shchita are mumchin, but I don't know if rov people who mess up a shchita are mumchin, meaning maybe the fact that he messed up is a major reyesa on that rov. So it tells us that we better be choshesh that this guy is part of the miut, unless he's able to prove otherwise, unless he's able to prove that he in fact is part of the rov. The Agur, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Yerdeah in Hilchas Shechita, writes that yes, there is a rov mitzuyin eitzel shechita mumchin hein, but that rov is only used b'dieved. But if it's efsha levarer on lechatchila, if you're able to clarify whether or not the guy is an expert, and you're able to clarify that, we would rather not rely on the rov. So when it's efsha levarer, we have to be mevarer. And the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, that's what we have a minhag. We don't allow anybody to shecht. We don't say, ah, rov mitzuyin eitzel shechita mumchin, so let this guy shecht, and I never met him before in my life, but he probably knows what he's doing, otherwise he wouldn't be trying it. No, we don't allow people to serve as a shochet. You need something called the Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a special it's a special smicha for shchita. The guy has to receive a smicha where he's a certified expert in Hilchos Shechita. That's the fascinating discussions in the beginning of Yerideya, where if you have someone who had a Kabbalah, but we find he's been messing up Shechitas, we test him. And he's been shechting for 20 years, and you test him, and it turns out he doesn't know anything. So do you assume everything in the last 20 years is treif? Or do you say, no, he has a Kabbalah, so the Kabbalah is he has a chazaka that he once knew. Maybe he forgot, but does forgetting happen all at one moment? I mean, can you say that he knew yesterday, and he just forgot today, and everything in the last 20 years is fine up until yesterday? Do you assume it happened gradually? Like, exactly how do you deal with those cases? Those are fascinating discussions at the beginning of Yerideya. Anyway, so ask the Gemara Vayter, Meisvei, Hamolech chitim lechon v'lo lissan. If a person brought chitim, he brought wheat to the grinder to grind up for him to make flour, and the grinder did not do lissisa, right? He didn't moisten up the wheat first before he ground up the flour, and that's the way to have a really clean, fine flour is by doing lissisa. Is a question by matzah whether you're allowed. There's a discussion in Mishnayos and Pesachim whether you're allowed to do lissisa on matzah, or is it chashash chimutz. You have to be choshesh that if you moisten the wheat first, so it's going to be mevul dechimus. There's actually a shita that mitzvah lilsos, that there's even a mitzvah to do lasisa, to essentially, which means you should bring the problem up and then address it, meaning you're going to make it moist, and then you'll have that extra zahirus to make sure that you don't allow it to become chametz, you don't allow anything enough time to become chametz. But there's a question whether it's asur lilsos or maybe even mitzvah lilsos. But anyway, we're talking over here in Choshen Mishpat. We're not talking over here in Or Chaim, in Hilchos Pesach. We're talking in Choshen Mishpat. You brought your wheat to the grinder. He's supposed to grind you very delicious flour. And instead, he doesn't do lasisa. Vasan subin umorsan. So you're left with flour that's disgusting. It's usable, but it's not good. So kemach l'nachtom, where you bring flour to a baker, vaso pasni folin. He's supposed to make you delicious bread, and the whole cake that he makes you collapses. The whole loaf of bread that he makes you collapses. Behema l'tabach, you bring a behema to a shochet, and that's obviously the case we're interested in. Vinivla, and the shochet makes the behema a nevela. So chayiv v'mneshu k'nosei sachar. So the shochet is going to be chayiv because he's like a nosei sachar. He's like a shomer sachar. The implication clearly is that he's not really a shomer sachar. He's like a shomer sachar. Why is he not really a shomer sachar? Apparently, you didn't pay him. And yet, he's still going to be chayiv. Isn't this against what we just said? We just said that the whole chiluk is whether you pay him or not. That if you pay the guy, that's a good way to make sure that he's chayiv. But if you don't pay him, then he's not going to be chayiv. And over here we say that the tabach that messed up and turned your animal into an avela is kin nosei sachar, which implies that you didn't pay him, and yet he's still going to be chayiv. So it says, no, ema mepneshu nosei sachar. That doesn't mean that he's kin nosei sachar. It means that he's literally a nosei sachar. But not that you didn't pay him, but that in fact you did pay him. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes over here nearly shalobal shanos hagirsa, that it's not coming to change the girsa. We're saying that the lashon that actually is mentioned in the brisa of kinosei sachar means that you did pay him, and he goes through exactly how that's so. Meaning he says klomer ki ilu kvar kibel schiruso umeshalem. Kinosei sachar means as if you've already paid him, not as if you've agreed to make him a shomer sachar, because you did agree to pay him. But kinosei sachar means as if you've already paid him, even though you've only gotten to the point where you agreed to pay him. So then we're not taking out the kill. We're just saying that kinosei sachar means he's literally a nosei sachar. Ha'huma grumsa da asay l'kamei d'rav. Tarfei upatri the tavach l'shlume dame. So there was a case of an animal whose shechita was messed up in some way that came in front of Rav. Now, the in what way was the shechita messed up? So apparently, part of the shechita was done outside of the range of where you're supposed to cut the simanim. Meaning, there's a range where the you can't cut too high or too low. There's a spot on the animal that you have to hit when you cut the simanim. Right? If you cut too high, too low, that could be a mess up in the shechita. So here, Magrumsa is an animal where you shechted beyond that range. Rashi says, Magrumsa shachat mitoch achas hatabaos vihigrim chutz bein tabaas latabaas. Right, you went sort of on an angle and you cut outward between the tabaos v'shir meloachut al pnei ruba. Now, the point is, apparently, it seems that most of the shechita you did in the right spot, but then you went at an angle and you went beyond the right spot. So this is a machlokas tanoim what the halach is. So the guy came in front of Rav, and Rav paskind tarfei, the animal's treif, upatri the tabach milushlumi dame. And he wouldn't allow and he said that the tabach doesn't have to pay the money for doing the shechita, meaning apparently it's a safek. So he was machmir on the guy that the animal is treif, but he was makel in the dinim amunus. He was makel on the shochet, that the shochet shouldn't have to pay the money. So pagabe ravkan ravasi bahugav, ravkan ravasi happened to run into that guy who just lost, who just had his animals treifed up. Armulei, Ovid Bach Rav Tarti. So they said to him, wow, Rav really, he a double whammy on you. He really got you bad. He got you twice. So Maitarti, what do they mean by that? That it was a double, that Rav got you on a double. Ile Maitarti Lagriusa, if they mean to say that Rav really nailed you twice, he really messed you up twice, it was two bad things that he did for you, because the boy Lachshure, because he should have really said that the animal is kosher, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, like the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, he should have paskin that way that it's kosher, Vitarfa Krabanon, but instead he paskin that it's treif like the Rabbanon. So that's one way that he really got you bad. And even if he wanted to go like the Rabbanon, at least he should have been Mechayev the Tabach. I mean, if he wants to paskin that the animal's not kosher, so he should have made the Shochet Chayev for messing up your animal. It costs a lot of money. So if that's what they meant to say, that Rav really messed you up, Umi Shari Lemeimer Ki Agavna, are rabbis allowed to say that? If someone goes and paskins a certain halacha, are you allowed to go and say, oh, I wouldn't have paskin that for you. I would have told you that it's mutter. I would have told... No, are you allowed to say that? V'atanya, l'kshiyatza lo yomar ani mezach v'chaveri mechayvin. Don't we have a braisa who says that when you leave the Beis Din, you should not say, meaning the judges that sat on the Beis Din, who perhaps were the dissenting opinion. I mean, let's say you had a dissenting opinion. It wasn't a unanimous decision. So if there were three judges on the basin, and one guy happened to paskin that the guy should have been putter, and two paskin that it should be chayiv. So the one who said putter should not say, oh, you know, I was mezakeh you, but it was the other two guys, they were out to get you. Avol ma'as hashechavei rabu elai, what am I supposed to do? I was outvoted, there's nothing I could do. Valzen emar, you know, we call such a person holech rachim legal asod. That's a person who's going and practicing rechilus by going and saying lashon hara. Now it's interesting, the parallel is not exact. We're saying that by that case, you were on the Beis Din. You had a say. And the Beis Din came out with the Pesach, and you were a member of that Beis Din, so you're not allowed to reveal which members of the Beis Din paskined which way. Over here, Rav Kahana and who was it? Rav Kahana and Rav Asi didn't have anything to say over here. The Shaila came to Rav. They weren't asked the Shaila. So this is a different case entirely. Meaning, even in this case, apparently, the Gemara is being Mechadesh, even when they were not involved in the case, they're not allowed to just go ahead and say that we would have paskin differently. You're not allowed to even say that. And that's a big Chiddush. Meaning, that's something that's very much Nogei Lemaisa in terms of, I understand, by the institution of Beis Din. So when it comes to Beis Din, you don't want to mess up the covet of the Beis Din. You don't want people to speak Lashon Hara about the Dayanim on the Beis Din. You have to keep the institution of Beis Din strong. The Chiddush over here is even when it's Hora'ah for an individual, given by an individual, you're not supposed to question the Hora'ah. As long as the person was Magia L'Hora'ah, as long as he was someone who was allowed to paskin, and it was a reasonable Psak, even if you disagree with the Psak, you're not allowed to go ahead and say that I wouldn't have paskin that way for you. I would have been nicer to you. I would have been more makel for you, which L'chor Rabbanim do all the time, something that we should probably be a little more careful about. So anyway, says the Gemara, that can't be what they meant, because they never would have done that. They never would have thrown Rav under the bus like that and said that they want to paskin that way. Ella Tarti L'malyu, so what they mean to say is, wow, look what an amazing favor Rav did for you. He did great things for you. First of all, number one, there was the animal is a Safik Isser, and he could have been makel for you, but then you would have eaten a Safik Isser, and he made sure that you didn't eat even a Safik Isser. He's so protective of your spiritual well-being. And number two, Menachem is Safik Zela, that he could have passed and the guy would have had to give you the money, but then you would have had to worry that maybe it's a Safik Zela that you have in your hands, and he wanted to save you from that, from the horror of having a Safik Zela. So he really did you a great favor, meaning the guy was probably pretty upset. So they tried to cheer him up. They really did you a great favor. If you look at Tosfos, Menachem is Safik Yisura. Omer Rav Enatam to Mishum Hachi Chari Le Safik Yisura Mishum De Rav Pasu Perakam Duchulin Krav Yosef Rabbi Yehuda B'Tabas Agadola Vayu Rav Machmir Alav. Rav really paskind like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that it's mutter. Meaning that was what Rav really held. The reason he calls it Safik Yisur is because Rav really held that it's mutter, but Rav was machmer on this guy, Lefi Shaya Am Ha'aretz, because the guy happened to be in Am Ha'aretz, and he was afraid, Shalo Yava L'Hakel B'Shar Tabaos G'dashkan Merakama Tzechulun. He was afraid that if he would be makel on this, the guy would be makel on similar cases where he wouldn't know how to be mechalik, and he'd be makel on similar cases where it would in fact be Aser. And the Gemara has something similar. Masech Eschulin, Gavim Vashal B'Shabbos, Kimari Ravel Talmidav, Mari Lu Krameir, V'Chidar Shlu B'Pirka. Darsh Krab Yehuda Mishum Amei Aretz, meaning you have this idea that certain things you can tell to Talmidei Chachamim, but when you say it publicly, you have to be very careful, because if people are not going to know what to do, they're not going to make the proper distinction between similar cases, because they're simply not going to know how to distinguish. So you have to be careful not to go and say the kulas. You have to say a few extra chumras. I think that was what Rav Moshe Paskin from Rabbi Eider, when Rabbi Eider wrote his halachas farm in English, and the footnotes were in Hebrew. So if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure where I got this from, but I'm pretty sure someone told me that Rav Moshe told Rabbi Eider that in English he should be very cautious with how many kulas he writes. In the Hebrew footnotes, he could write a few more, because the people who are able to understand the Hebrew are obviously at a little bit of a higher level of learning and are able to make certain chilukim that the people who are only able to understand the English are unable to do. And you'll find that's the style in a lot of these English halacha books. A lot of times if you read the English, it says everything is asir, and then you look in the footnote, but really it's mutter. Right? That's a lot of the time they'll show you mar makomos that will lead you in a direction that would seem to suggest that not everything is asir. But anyway, that's why he calls it a Safek Isser, because Rav really paskins that it's mutter. But for this guy, it's a Safek Isser, because he's going to come to some other sort of Isser if Rav were to allow it. Why is it called a Safek Zela? So it says Tosos, Lahach, Ikari Le Safek Zela, Velo Vada Gzela, Da'osu Ha'isha Shachal Da'am Aretz, meaning, wait a second, if Rav paskins that it's really mutter, that the animal is really kosher, so isn't it vadai gezela to take money from this guy? I mean, the guy didn't ruin anything. He didn't ruin your animal. The animal's totally kosher. So isn't it vadai gezela? Why is it only safek gezela? He says, no, it's safek gezela because the shochet should have known better. The shochet should have realized that if he does this to the animal, probably because the person he's doing this for is Nama Aretz, they're going to be machmir on him. So even though practically, theoretically, at least, the animal is kosher, practically, he should have known that this guy is not going to be allowed to use this animal. And therefore, it's called a case of Safek Zela. Itmar, says Umar Vaiter, Amara Dina L'Shulchani. A person goes to a Shulchani, a money changer, and he shows him money. Why is he showing him money? So Rashi says, L'dasim Tovu V'Kablen Mechavero. He wants to know if it's good money or if it's bad money, meaning someone offered him to pay him with this money, and he wants to know if he should be Mekabel the money, or should he say, no, this is counterfeit, and I shouldn't be Mekabel it. Why should I get into the trouble? So Amara Dina L'Shulchani. And it turns out that the Shulchan said it was okay, but it turned out it wasn't okay. So Tanichada Uman Pater had Yot Chayev. So one Brisa tells us that if the Shulchan really was an expert, he knew what he was doing, then he's going to be Pater if he messes up. But if he's a Hedyot, then he's going to be Chayev if he messes up. V'tani Yidach, we have another Brisa that says, Bein Uman, Bein Hedyot Chayev. And it doesn't make a difference whether he's an Uman or a Hedyot. Either way, he's going to be Chayev. So Amar Papa, Ki Tani Uman Pater, when do we say that an Uman is Pater? Kigon Danchu v'Isser, like the two famous shulchanis, the two famous experts in recognizing currency, Danchu and Isser. Rashi says shulchanin umnin hayu. These are people's names. They were expert shulchanim. The lotzrich l'migmar klal, where they don't have to go and do any further research l'chora because they're such great experts. So that's what we say. Because they're such great experts, that's why we're gonna let them off the hook. But if they're not such great experts, maybe they should have paid more careful attention, and therefore they would be chayiv. Says Tosos v'tani idach bein uman bein hediot chayiv. He says, why don't we give the same answer we gave before? That it depends whether you paid them or not. If they were paid to be able to recognize the currency, then they bear a higher level of responsibility, and then they should be chayiv. And if they're not paid, they should be pater. So he says, no, it's not shaykh to give that answer over here. Why? Tibahakaras matbeat tzarich bekius gadol v'lasei l'michzi im ein baki kidanuch v'iser. Because when it comes to recognizing currency, you really need to be a very great expert in order to be able to do this. Not everyone can recognize currency, so anyone who's on a lesser level than danuch v'iser really should have never gotten involved in the first place. So it's not an issue of whether you take money or you don't take money. To be someone who's going to look at currency at all, you really have to be a very great expert. So says the Gemara, El B'mai Ta'u. So wait a second. If Danuch V'Isser were so great, so what was their mistake exactly? How did they mess up? And it says Gemara, Ta'u B'Sich Sechadita. They messed up because it was a new currency that had just been minted, so they didn't recognize it. That was the issue. Rashi says, Shenifsal Matbeah V'Amidu Tzura Acheres, that the previous type of currency became Nifsal, they no longer were using it. and they had a new currency, Vadai Loi Bikinba, and they hadn't gained expertise in this new type of currency yet. There was at that time that the new currency was just minted. There was a woman who showed a dinar to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said, yeah, that's a perfectly good coin, you can use that. The next day she came in front of him. She said, look, I've been showing this around, I've been trying to pay for it for a day, I've been trying to pay with it rather for everything I've been buying for a day, and everyone keeps telling me it's bad currency, they're not accepting it from me. I'm not able to spend it. So Rabbi Chia said to Rav, who apparently was in charge of Rabbi Chia's treasure, Rabbi Chia's money, right? That's what Rashi says. Rav Shomer Gnazer Shel Rabbi Chia Dodo Hava. Rav was the treasurer for Rabbi Chia. He was in charge of Rabbi Chia's accounts. So he said to Rav, Zil Chalfei Neila, go change it for her. Take this from her and give her a coin that for sure is good. Pay her back. V'kasva pinkasi din asak bish, and write on my ledger that I had a really bad day yesterday, that I really messed this one up, right? That there was a schara ra'a, that I messed this woman up for no reason. So maishna danchu ve'isr de p'tiri v'shem tal tzrichi l'migmar, Rabbi Chia nami la v'migmar chabayi. Wait a second, Rabbi Chia was also an expert. Why is Rabbi Chia going to be chayiv to replace the woman's dinar, and danchu and isr are not chayiv to replace the woman's dinar? So not chayiv to replace the person's dinar when they mess up. And so the Gemara, Rabbi Chia l'fnei mishuras adinu David. Who says Rabbi Chia was chayiv? Rabbi Chia wasn't chayiv. He did this l'fnei mishuras adin. Where do we see that there's such an idea to go l'fnei mishuras adin? What do you mean? There's din. You should follow din. Where do we come up with this idea of l'fnei mishuras adin? Ketitani Rav Yosef, like Rav Yosef darshan the pasuk. Pasuk says, "V'odata lehem es haderech yelchuba v'samasa sheyasun." So we darshan as follows: "V'odata lehem ze beis chayehem." V'odata lehem refers to beis chayehem. What's beis chayehem? Rashi says Talmud Torah, and in the margin it says, and Rashi neil metzias taflamenam beis pirush Rashi beis chayehem lilmol dehen umnus lisparnes bo. The chukos v'toros ksivi bereisha dekra, right? To that it can't be referring to Torah, because the first half of the pasuk says viz hartem esem esachukim v'esatoros. We already covered Torah in the first half of the pasuk. So Rashi Bab Metzia says no, that beis chayim does not mean Torah. Vodata lahem refers to teaching children umnus, teaching people a way to make a living so that they can live. People can't only be taught Torah, they need to be taught how to make a living. Right? That's the sugi at the end of Kiddushin, whether with Reb Meir, that it was Eini Melamed Es Bnei Ela Torah, the Meniach Ani Kolam L'Shul Ba'olam, but that was Dafka Reb Meir, wasn't something that was widely accepted. One of the chiyuvim of an Aval Ben is to teach him an umnus. So Beis Chayim relates to teaching him a profession. Es HaDerech Zu Gmilas Chasadim. Es HaDerech means Gmilas Chesed. Yelchu zu bikur cholim. The word yelchu refers to bikur cholim. Ba zu kvura. The word ba refers to kvura. Wait a second. We already covered gemilas chasadim with esaderech. Is bikur cholim different than gemilas chasadim? Isn't bikur cholim a type of gemilas chasadim? Isn't kvura a type of gemilas chasadim? Not just a type of gemilas chasadim, but the ultimate gemilas chasadim. Isn't that the chesed shel emes? Right? So that Rashi and Chumash by Yaakov Avinu. So says Rashi over here, bikur cholim kvura. The Gemara asks the Kasha, that this the Gemara Neil Metzius asks, isn't this exactly Gemilas Chasadim? Umuki la bikur cholim beben gilo v'notel echad mishishim becholio ukvur bezakin v'elu fikvodo v'afilu hachichayev. So the Gemara says, no, we're going beyond that bikur cholim. We're talking about someone who is of your stature, and you, when you're mevaker cholim, you take away 1/60th of his illness. So it's more than just the chesed; you're actually physically making him better. And kvur is a zak, where you really pater, where it's the type of chesed that you shouldn't, where one would think you're pater. By if it were a metzia, you'd be pater, right? But it's a type of chesed where lechora from normal gemilas chasadim, you would be pater if it's a zaken v'enel fikvado. But the chiyuv goes beyond what normal gemilas chasadim chiyuvim are. That a zaken v'enel fikvado, you're going to be chayev over here. So that's the idea, that these go beyond normal chesed. As a maase, we dash in the pasuk vayter ze hadin. As a maase refers to din, right? To dinim amnis. Asher yaasun zulef nimishuras hadin. And asher yaasun tells us that you need to go beyond din. You need to go nimishuras din. That makes the gemara b'mitzia very fit in very nicely. That seems to be the style of drash in this pasuk, that we're dashing level one, and then we say, and then you go beyond that. So in the first half of the pasuk also, we said gemilas chasadin, but then you go beyond that when it comes to bikur chalim and kvoras mason, that even beyond the normal parameters of chesed, you have to go when it comes to these things, when it comes to these particular mitzvahs. So there's a lot of discussion over here in the Rishon. First of all, Tosfos. Tosfos said, "L'fnim mishras din avid ketanir of Yosef v'datlem v'hach price of my sinam perikel mitzias gabi zakim v'elafik v'odav reb shmol b'rav Yosef l'fnim mishras din avid ketani." We bring this price in mitzias as well. But in Bamitziyat of Pegimel, Gabe Rabba Barafunet Shaklinu Luglimayu, the Hanu Shuklai, Lomaisila El Maisilman Telech Biderach Tovim. But the Gemara later in Bamitziyat, when it has a similar type of idea about someone going beyond the letter of the law, doesn't quote this pasuk, quotes a different pasuk. The Gemara later on in Bamitziyat discusses a case where someone messed up Bipshia with negligence. Someone messed up Rabba Baravuna's clothing and Rabbi Baravuna's stuff or animals, I forgot what it was exactly, and Rabbi Baravuna took their clothing as payment. Right, he took their glima, their clothing, as payment for them messing up. And he was told, "No, give it back." And he said, "What do you mean? I did the din. Why should I give it back?" So he was told, "No, because you should go lefnim mishuras din." And the pasuk they quote is man telech b'derek tovim. It's not our pasuk of es ha-maaseh asher yaasun. So mefarish harim yirlin to loshayich lefnim mishuras din ela b'davar sha'achirim chayavin v'zeh pater. He says lefnim mishuras din only applies by something that other people are chayiv and this guy is pater. Kemo Rabbi Chiya da Hacha, like Rabbi Chiya over here, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Elmetzias, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef, Elmetzias. Al behid Rabbi Rav Huna in chilek bein alvein acherim. When it came to Rabbi Rav Huna, everyone is the same. There's no chilek between different people, right? So only when there's a chilek between different people do we use the concept of the Fnim Mishuras Din. But says Tosas Vein Nira, the Berak Elmetzias, Amar da Ava the Fnim Mishuras Din, Gabi Hada Vadu Shmuel, Ash Kachinu Lahanu Chamri, Bemidbara, Adrinu Lumayr, Lubasa Tresi Yarchi, Shasa, Ubi Patri Kuli Alma. I mean, there is a case in Mesa where everyone is on the same page and we still use the word of Nimishur's Din, where everyone's on the same level and we still use the concept of Nimishur's Din. Well, you have to say in the case where they messed up his barrel of wine and they took the and he took the clothing, that why don't we call that Nimishur's Din? Not because everyone is equal and the same halach would have applied to everybody, but since they did a major hezek, it's hard to call it Lefnim Mishuras Adin, meaning it's hard to say that to require him to do Lefnim Mishuras Adin on the normal level, we have to come up with some other reason that he should be more Machmir, because it's something that they did a major hezek to him, and he can't be expected to be Mochel such a hezek. Where do we get the idea of Lefnim? What is the concept of Lefnim Mishuras Adin? I mean, if God wanted us to do something, wouldn't he have told us? Why do we have such a concept of Lefnim Mishuras Adin? So the Ramban ala Torah in Parshas Veschanan, on the Pasuk Vasisa Yashav Atov, the Ramban writes very fascinating. He says, it's impossible for any book to write down every circumstance that's going to come up in life and every detail of every case you're ever going to have to tell you what to do. There's no instruction book in the world that could ever do that. You're always going to have to make a judgment call no matter what, no matter how much detail is written down, there are always going to come up cases where you're going to have to make a judgment call. So the Ramban writes, the idea is that the Torah gave us many, many cases to give a glimpse of what the Ratzon Hashem is. And we have many, many mitzvos where we're told exactly what the din is. But we're supposed to not just pick up the letter of the law, we're supposed to pick up the spirit of the law. We're supposed to figure out what the Ratz, not just what the Dvar Hashem is, what Hashem tells us, but what the Ratzon Hashem is, what Hashem really wants from us. We have to figure out on our own what the general spirit of the law. As Rabbi Wurzburg, as a Kron Levracha, used to always say, that the din, the halacha, is not an ethical ceiling, it's an ethical floor, meaning it's the ground level. But you're supposed to go beyond it. You're supposed to be able to go beyond it. It's not the ceiling of the highest level of ethics. No, there is ethics beyond it. There's ethics that you're supposed to go even if Nimishrus did it, do do even better than what the Torah specifically demands of us. And the Ramban gives us an example, like Dina de Bar Mitzvah. Right? Dina de Bar Mitzvah is something that you should know, that that's something that's the ethical thing to do. That if you're going to sell your house, offer, give the first option to the neighbor in case he wants to have a bigger field. You're going to sell your field, make sure he has the ability to match whatever offer you have or to buy that field. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Reish Lakish achvi ledinu Rabbi Lazar. Reish Lakish showed a dinah to Rabbi Lazar to paskin on, to tell him whether it was a good dinah or not. Amr ma'aliyu. Rabbi Lazar said, yeah, it's perfectly good. Amr lechazid alacha samachina. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Lazar, you should know, I'm relying on you. I'm relying on your judgment over here. Amr lechisamachta alay man lememra. He says, what are you trying to tell me? Why would you say that? Why are you trying to say that? Because you think if you say that, then if it turns out that the dinar is no good, then I'll change it for you and I'll reimburse you. You're the one that says that Rabbi Meir is dan dina de garmi, that if someone messes you up in garmi in an indirect way, that Rabbi Meir holds his chayef to pay for it. My love, Rabbi Meir velos filan gavasei, and I always assumed you meant that Rabbi Meir is dan dina de garmi, but I don't pass it that way. So if you don't paskin to be done dina de garmi, why would I have to pay you anyway? I mean, why are you making a big deal that you're relying on me? I don't care that you're relying on me. You hold, I wouldn't have to pay you, even if I messed up. So I'm like, lo, Ramei Rasulan comes and says, whoever said I don't like Ramei? I always say Ramei is done dina de garmi, and yes, I think Ramei is correct. I think dina de garmi is something that we should be done, that we should be mechayev a person in dina de garmi. So machlok is rishonim, whether when we say done dina de garmi, is it a din d'oraisa? Does Ramei hold the done dina de garmi that is chayev mi d'oraisa? That's shitz ramban. Or like Tosas, that dina de garmi is not d'oraisa, to knas mi d'rabbanan, that we're going to make someone pay with dina de garmi. That's the machlok. Nafkaminas are many. For instance, if it's only knas, modub knas is pater. Right, it's a question by Modu Knas to Rabbanan though. Modu Knas to Arais is for sure part. By Modu Knas to Rabbanan is a major discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim whether Modu Knas to Rabbanan is part. But at least that's one possible nafkamina if it's a Knas or a Daraisa. Another nafkamina is if the Mazik dies, would we make the children pay? So if it's din, so they should take care of the chivim of the children. But if it's only a knas that we made on the guy, so that's only a knas you should make on him. He's the one that that caused the damage indirectly. But why should that carry forward to his children? You shouldn't be mechayev them. They didn't do anything wrong. So that's another nafkamina. Another nafkamina is if the guy did a pishogeg. You're not going to be kone someone pishogeg. So that's also a nafkamina. Okay. Says Gemara Vayter. Hey, Reb Meir, wait a second. Where does Reb Meir say dan din de garmi? Where do we find the Reb Meir hold such a thing, such an idea that when someone does something in a garmi way, in an indirect way, that he's going to be chayv? So the Gemara is going to have four possibilities, and that's the simen we have over here. Dalid, lamed, mem, pei, simen, right? The simen is for the four possibilities. The first three are rejected. The fourth is going to be the one that we accept. Ilim, Rav Meir, detana, and if you say that it's the following Rav Meir that teaches us in the Mishnah, danes adin zikas achayv chivis hazakai, that if a person is danadin Torah and he messes up, he's mezaka, the one who should be chayv, he's mechayv, the one who should be zakai, timei asatar, tiere asatame, or is metame, he paskin something as tame when really it's tar, he paskin something star when really it's tamei, masha asa asui yeshali mibeso. So what's done is done, and he's going to have to pay for out of pocket for his damage. So you see, Rav Meir holds done din de garmi, even though he only indirectly caused the damage by paskining. He didn't physically damage anyone; he just paskined. Still, he's going to have to be mishali mibeso. He's still going to be chayif to pay. Says Gemara, no, that's not garmi. No, the case over there is he literally confiscated the money from one person and gave it to the other person. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just a psak. He actually physically took hold of the money. So that's not just garmi. That's actual direct hezek. Says Tosfos, Timei Asatahar, wait a second. Afgav Damar Banizak, and the Gemara in Gittin says, Ametamei Vametamei 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 Pater, that if you mess up Peshogig by being Metamei someone else's items, you're Pater. So why over here would you be Chayiv? If you paskin that someone's items are Tamei, isn't that the same? Can that be any worse than actually being Metamei someone's stuff? When you're actually Metamei someone's stuff, Peshogig, you're Pater. Over here, you paskin that was Tamei, you weren't even Metamei it. Right? And the Chorov, and we say over here, you're chayiv. So at the end we say you actually were matami, you did it be a daim, but still you did it be shogeg. So hacha isli l'chuyuv afalgav de shogeg. Who over here we're going to be mechayivim, even though it was be shogeg, mehi taimed the mechayiv asim bemezid. According for the same reason that we say over there that if you're matami someone else's stuff bemezid you're chayiv. What's the reason when you do bemezid you're chayiv? L'man yamar hezek shein nikol lo shmei hezek. Because if you hold, even if you hold hezek shein nikol lo shmei hezek, so by being matami someone else's stuff, you didn't do any real hezek. Why, when you do bemezid, are you going to be chayiv? Because we don't want people to make a habit of this. That anytime I don't like you, I'm going to take a rodent and I'm going to make your stuff tameh. And that's going to be an easy way to get back at you and I'm going to be butter. So in order to avoid people doing that on purpose, we say that if you do bemezid, you're chayiv. So hachanami over here also. Chayiv, kadesh yedak tek bedin. We want to motivate the person to judge cases properly and to judge cases fairly and to judge cases lahalacha. So in order to motivate him to do it properly, we're going to say that he's going to be chayiv, even though it was b'shogeg. Meaning the case of a dayan doing it b'shogeg is very similar to the case of a regular person b'mezid. That the same deterrent that we have by a regular person b'mezid, we want to have for a dayan b'shogeg. I, what about the sheet that says Shmei Hezek, that Hezek Shein Nikr is called Hezek? L'man Yamanami Shmei Hezek, V'shogeg Pater, Kidei Sheyodiyu, and the, if it's Shmei Hezek, so even Shogeg should be Chayev L'chora. Right, when I'm Matami someone else's stuff, even Shogeg I should be Chayev. Why do we pask that I'm Pater? Because we're afraid that if you were to tell me that I'm Chayev for being Matami someone else's stuff, B'shogeg, I'm just not going to tell him. I'll just keep it a secret, and then he'll mess up all of his taros. So in order to motivate me to want to tell him, we say that a shogeg is pater. So over here, why is the dayan going to be chayiv even if he did it with shogeg? Because what are you worried about? The dayan's not going to tell him that he messed up? If he has no business being a dayan, if he's the kind of guy that wouldn't tell someone that he messed up his taros. You're dealing with a dayan. L'chora, he's someone who's trustworthy enough. He cares enough about the halacha that he'll inform the person when he messes up. So there's no reason to make an extra halacha that he'll get off the hook because we want him to fess up. There's no reason to make him get off the to let him off the hook just so that he'll be motivated to fess up. He'll fess up anyway. So that's the idea. Possible source number one. Viter Elahar Rameir, second wide line. So what's the second possibility? Where do we get the idea that Rameir done din zgami? To Tanan, we have a mission l'tzvalu Edom, mitzvah v'shachar, shachar v'tzvalu Edom. That you hire a guy to dye your wool red and he dyes it black, or vice versa. Rameir Omer Nosna Demet Simro. Rameir says you pay for the wool, even though that's only l'chora indirect damage. Says Gemara, no, hasam kavim b'yadayim. What are you talking about, indirect? He wanted red. You physically went ahead and dyed it black. You dyed it the wrong color physically, directly. That's very direct. That's not garmi. Ella, third possibility. Hara Meir, it's the following Meir. Ditnan. Hamasachik kufanu al gabi tuvaso shel chavero. If you bring your gefen over someone else's tavua, so areza kidesh v'chayiv, you've caused the nisr of kilei akerem, and you've made his grain usser, and you're going to be chayiv. So that's dinu de garmi. So says Gemara, no. Hasam nami, covered be a daim. That's not garmi either. That's also direct damage. Ella, it's the fourth possibility. Harameir, it's the following Rameir. Titania, mechitza, sakarim, shenifritza, omer lo gadar, nifritza, omer lo gadar. If there's a fence in between a vineyard and grain that keeps the two sides from being klei akerem, right? You have two options when it comes to keeping your vineyard away from someone else's grain. Either you could be marchik dal ramos, you could be farmos away, or you can go right up until the property line, but then you need to build a fence between the two, and that will keep it from being klei akerem. So the fence falls down, and they warn the guy. Who's the guy? They warn the bal akerem. You better build it back up. And Nifritza, he builds it up, and again, it falls down. Omer lo gadar, and they tell him, build it up again. Nisyaish, men of lo gadar, and eventually he gives up, and he decides not to build it. Hareze kidesh v'chayiv b'achriyuso. So the tavua becomes kalei akerem, and he's chayiv to pay for the tavua. It's only garmi, it's not direct damage. He didn't do anything to the tavua, he just didn't rebuild his fence. Nevertheless, if it grows enough that it's not going to be batel, which is, normally it's batel b'masayim, kilei akerem is batel b'masayim. So if the tavua grew
X amount. It grew 195 units tall, and then with the fence there, and then the fence was knocked down, and it grew another unit. So that extra unit is not batel because it doesn't have masayim to be batel in. So the whole thing is going to be aser, and the guy is going to be the balakerem is going to be chayiv to pay the balatvua for the damage done to his grain. There's a lot to talk about over here. Tosfos has discussions about a number of issues. First of all, Tosfos says, why is it the balakerem's problem? Isn't the balatvua asers the kerem as much as the kerem asers the tvua, doesn't it? Right, they ask for each other. So the Meiri writes in Masechta Bava Basra that no, that the Balakerem asks the Tavua much more, because the Tavua is there pretty much year round. The Kerem is there for very, very short seasons of the year that there's actual grapes in the vineyard. So the amount of damage done to the Tavua is generally greater than the amount of damage done to the Kerem. Tosfos writes, Pirush Balakerem du amazik to dalar amu sha'amu laharchik. Tosfos says, no, the Baal Kerem is going to be viewed as the Mazik because it's his responsibility to stay away from the Tavua. Why is it his responsibility? Because the Avodas HaKerem requires bringing machinery around that takes up 4 amos of space. You need to leave 4 amos off the end of your Kerem in order to leave room for your own Avodas HaKerem that you shouldn't encroach on the other guy's property. So since it's your responsibility to stay 4 amos away, and you chose instead to plant up until the property line, so it's going to be your responsibility to maintain that fence. So it's not because you're mazik more than the other guy's mazik, but it's because it's your responsibility to stay away. And the first kidney line tells right, so I feel Rabbi Yossi Damar Hasmal and Nizik Larchik as Atzmo, and even according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that it's the Nizik's responsibility to stay away, Ham Ravashi Yasu Moda Rabbi Yossi Bigiri Delay. Rabbi Yossi's Moda when it's your arrows that go and do the damage. And by a Kerem, Vahacha Giri Debal Kerem Haim, the Chashtin and Ele Shloyavo Machrishasu Besada Chavero. It is considered you doing the damage directly because we're afraid you're going to bring your plow into the other guy's field. And that's why it's the Baal HaKerem's responsibility to be marchik the Dalar Amos. Why do we say Omrim Lo Gedar and not Chayiv Lo Gedar? So that's the next issue Tosfos deals with. V'adna nakat Omrim Lo Gedar v'lo nakat Chayiv Lo Gedar nir l'ri l'fi shetzarech l'hasros bo. You have to warn the guy. It's not good enough to just that it fell down and he should have noticed. He needs Hasra'a. If you didn't give him Hasra'a, he's not going to be Chayiv for it at all. And not only that, we say it twice. Nivritz Omrim Lo Gedar, Nivritz Omrim Lo Gedar. He needs Hasra'a, apparently, each and every time. That's the discussion in Tosfos. Do you have to, in the first wide line of Tosfos, Misaf Kalarim, Sarach Lahasusba Bechol Pam, or Shemasagi Betray Zimni? Do you need Hasra more than twice, or is 2 times Hasra enough? Do you have to go beyond that? Good, so that's a suffix in Tosfos. Rabbi Natam says the reason why it picks 2 times, why it says 2 times, is Lashmina Shemyesh Tosefis Messiah, Bain Mashemos Kshinifsa Rishon, Bain Mashos Kshinifsa Shnia, Dein Misaf Lasa, Tekamakam Bata. Rabbi Natam says that the reason why it says 2 times that the Hasra is that if you gave him Hasra once and then he built a fence and it grew a little bit while the fence was down, then he built a fence and it grew and then it fell down again and it grew a little bit more, so the 2 times are not mitzaref. It's still going to be batel if each, it's kama kama batel, that if the first time it grew was less than 1/200th, batel. If you were to combine the first time and the second time, it would be 1/200th, it would be more than 1/200th. Nevertheless, since it was batel already, it's going to be batel again. But we don't say kama kama batel, since growth is a slow process. We don't say every 5 minutes, oh, it grew another tiny amount, and now it's batel, then 5 minutes later it should be batel again. Now, only if you built a fence in between, then we say, yeah, that the first parsha is over now, that was batel. Now going forward, we're going to start a new slate. But if it's, obviously we're not going to say that it's just batel going forward in general when the fence is left down and it's left to grow. The issue of grama and garmi is a major issue. It's a major Shas topic. There's a very important Nemuke Yosef over here. The Nemuke Yosef talks about 3 concepts that people sometimes might confuse with each other and that are really very clearly defined by the halacha. He says there are 3 concepts. Number 1 is hezek shein nikar. Hezek shein nikar is something that the damage is totally unrecognizable, like chametz shavar lafa pesach, right, where you could say to the guy harei shel chalafanecha. Number 2 is dina de garmi. That's something where the damage is recognizable, but you didn't do any direct action on it. like mochel shibud shel chavero, where it's only words. You're just mochel a shibud that now is owned by somebody else. And also, in our case, you leave the mechitza not built. So that's also a case where you didn't do anything, but the damage is clearly recognizable, right? And the third type of case is grumma. What's grumma? Where it's not clear that damage is going to occur based on the action that you did. You did an action, but it's not clear that damage is going to occur based on the action that you did. Like you leave a ladder next to a shovach and the birds start jumping out, but it's not clear if the birds would actually, or if the weasel that's going to go hurt the birds will jump in, or the birds are going to jump out and escape. It's not clear that that's going to happen. So that would be a case of grumma. These are very, very difficult shaylas to pass on halacha l'maaseh. We'll just close with a shayla, and we'll pick up from the Mishnah tonight. We'll close with the shayla Rav Shechter has in a sefer Ginas Egel Siman Nun Aleph of a case of a guy calls up his stockbroker and he says, "I want you to buy stock X for me today. I have a really good feeling about it." And the broker says, "Okay, no problem." The guy calls him back 10 minutes later and says, "Did you buy it?" The guy said, "No." Calls him back 10 minutes later and says, "Did you buy it yet?" The guy said, "No." And then he calls him back 10 minutes later, "Did you buy it yet?" And the guy said, "Yes." And he lied to him. He just wanted to get him off his case. And then the stock goes up a lot. And at the end of the day, he calls the broker. He says, "Ah, thank you so much. I knew I had a good feeling about this. I made thousands of dollars in the stock." And the broker says, "Sorry, I didn't really buy it. I was just trying to get you off my case because you kept on nudging me, and I was really pretty busy, and I didn't think it was such a smart idea anyway. So I just didn't bother." So the shaila is that grama? Is that garmi? Is he chayif to pay? And a fascinating essay in Gina Segos where he discusses this in Mukhe Yosef. Yeah.